The Renaissance and Reformation. Section 1. The Italian Renaissance.
If you were there. You are a historian living in Florence, Italy, in the late 1300s. In your writing, you describe the wonders of your city today. But the place was very different only about 50 years ago. At that time, the Black Death was sweeping through the city. In fact, your own grandfather was killed by the terrible disease. Some 50,000 of the city's other citizens also died from the plague. Now, though, Florence is known for its beauty, art, and learning. How did your city change so quickly?
Building background. By the late 1300s, the Black Death's horrors had passed. Europeans could worry less about dying and concentrate more on living. They wanted to enjoy some of life's pleasures, art, literature, and learning. Increased trade with faraway lands would help spark new interest in these activities. Trade with Asia. It seems strange that the Black Death had any positive results, but that is what happened. Though the death toll was terrible, the disease didn't damage farmland, buildings, ships, machines, or gold. People who survived used these things to raise more food and make new products. Wages rose as workers, now in short supply, demanded higher pay. Europe's economy began to grow again. As more goods became available, prices went down. Trade increased, and new products appeared in the markets. Some of these goods came from thousands of miles away. To learn how these items ended up in Europe, we need to go back in time. The Silk Road reopens. The Chinese and Romans did business together from about AD 1 to 200. Products moved between east and west along the Silk Road. This was a caravan route that started in China and ended at the Mediterranean Sea. When the Roman Empire and the Han Dynasty fell, soldiers no longer protected travelers. As a result, use of the Silk Road declined. Then, in the 1200s, the Mongols took over China. They once again made the road safer for travelers and traders. Among these traders were a remarkable man from Venice named Marco Polo and his family. The Polos traveled from Europe to China, where they saw many amazing things, such as paper money and coal used for fuel. In China, they also met with the Mongol emperor Kublai Khan. He invited them to stay in his court and made Marco Polo a government official. The Polos spent 20 years in Asia before returning to Venice. There, a writer helped Polo record his journey. Polo's descriptions made many Europeans curious about Asia. People began to desire Asian goods, and trade between Asia and Europe grew. Italian merchants organized much of this trade. Trade cities in Italy. By the 1300s, four northern Italian cities had become trading centers: Florence, Genoa, Milan, and Venice. These cities bustled with activity. Shoppers there could buy beautiful things from Asia. Residents could meet strangers from faraway places and hear many languages on the streets. Italian cities played two important roles in trade. One role was as ports on the Mediterranean Sea. Venice and Genoa were the main port cities. Merchant ships brought spices and other luxuries from Asia into the city's harbors. Merchants then shipped the goods all across Europe. The other role was as manufacturing centers. Each city specialized in certain crafts. Venice produced glass. In Milan, workers made weapons and silk. Florence was a center for weaving wool into cloth. All of this economic activity put more money in merchants' pockets. Some Italian merchant families became incredibly wealthy. Eventually, this wealth would help make Italy the focus of European culture. How did this happen? Florence. One city, Florence stands out as an example of the great trade and wealth coming into Italy during the 1300s. Florence's wealth began with the wool trade, but banking increased that wealth. Bankers in Florence kept money for merchants from all over Europe. The bankers also earned money by making loans and charging interest. Interest is a fee that lenders charge people who borrow money from them. This fee is usually a certain percentage of the loan. The greatest of the Florence bankers were the Medici family. In the early 1400s, they were the richest family in the city. Their fortune gave the Medicis political power, too. You see, in most big Italian cities, a single rich family controlled the government. The head of the family ruled the city. By 1434, Cosimo de' Medici ruled Florence. Cosimo de' Medici wanted Florence to be the most beautiful city in the world. He hired artists to decorate his palace. He also paid architects to redesign many of Florence's buildings. Cosimo de' Medici also valued education. After all, his banks needed workers who could read, write, and understand math. To improve education, he built libraries and collected books. Under the Medicis, Florence became the center of Italian art, literature, and culture. In other Italian cities, rich families tried to outdo each other in their support of the arts and learning. Beginning of the Renaissance. This love of art and education was a key feature of a time we call the Renaissance. The word Renaissance means rebirth and refers to the period that followed Europe's Middle Ages. What was being reborn? Interest in art and literature revived, especially in ancient Greek and Roman works. Appreciation also developed for the importance of people as individuals. These ideas were very different from those of the Middle Ages. Italian writers and artists. New ways of thinking emerged during the Renaissance. At the same time, the period brought a renewed emphasis on the past. These trends inspired Italian writers and artists to produce many brilliant works. Sources of inspiration. During the Middle Ages, most thinkers in Europe had devoted themselves to religious study. By the 1300s, however, scholars had begun to broaden their interests. They studied poetry, history, art, and the Greek and Latin languages. Together, these subjects are known as the humanities because they explore human activities rather than the physical world or the nature of God. The study of the humanities led to a movement called humanism, a way of thinking and learning that stresses the importance of human abilities and actions. This interest in the humanities was linked to the rediscovery of ancient writings. In the 1300s, Turks conquered much of the Byzantine Empire. Scholars seeking to escape the Turks fled to Italy. With them, they carried rare works of literature. Many of the works they brought to Italy were ancient classical writings, such as works by Greek thinkers. Scholars were excited by the return of these writings and went looking for ancient Latin texts, too. They found many in monasteries where monks had preserved works by Roman writers. As scholars rediscovered the glories of Greece and Rome, they longed for a renewal of classical culture. Renaissance artists and architects were also drawn to the past. Classical statues and ruins of Roman buildings still stood in Italy. These ancient ruins and statues inspired painters and sculptors. Italian writers. Many Italian writers contributed great works of literature to the Renaissance. The earliest was the politician and poet Dante Alighieri. Before Dante, most medieval authors had written in Latin, the language of the church. Dante wrote in Italian, which was the common language of the people. This showed that he considered Italian, the people's language, to be as good as Latin. A later Italian writer, Niccolò Machiavelli, was also a politician. In 1513, he wrote a short book called The Prince. It gave leaders advice on how they should rule. Machiavelli didn't care about theories or what should work. He was only interested in what really happened in war and peace. He argued that to be successful, rulers had to focus on the here and now, not on theories. Machiavelli thought that rulers sometimes had to be ruthless to keep order. In this way, Machiavelli serves as a good example of Renaissance interest in human behavior and society. Italian art and artists. During the Renaissance, Italian artists created some of the most beautiful paintings and sculptures in the world. Ideas about the value of human life affected the art of the time. Artists showed people in a more realistic way than medieval artists had done. Renaissance artists studied the human body and drew what they saw. However, because artists often used classical statues as their guides, many of the human beings they drew were as perfect as Greek gods. Artists also used a new technique called perspective, a way of showing depth and distance on a flat surface. Perspective is created by various means. For example, people in the background of a painting are shown smaller than people in the front. Sharper colors are used for objects seen up close, while distant images are made to look hazier. Also, parallel lines, such as on floor tiles, are drawn diagonally. This is another way to give the illusion of distance between the people or objects shown. Two masters. There were several great Italian Renaissance artists, but two stand out above the rest. Each is an example of what we call a Renaissance person, someone who can do practically anything well. One of these great Italian masters was Michelangelo. He had many talents. Michelangelo designed buildings, wrote poetry, carved sculptures, and painted magnificent pictures. Perhaps his most famous work is a painting that covers the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican. The muscular human figures in this immense painting remind the viewer of Greek or Roman statues. The true genius of the Renaissance was Leonardo da Vinci. In addition to being an expert painter, Leonardo was a sculptor, architect, inventor, engineer, town planner, and map maker. Both nature and technology fascinated Leonardo. Detailed drawings of plants, animals, and machines fill the sketchbooks that he left behind. To make his art more real, Leonardo studied anatomy, the structure of human bodies. He also showed human emotions in his work. His famous portrait of Mona Lisa, for example, shows the lady smiling. Summary and preview. Changes in Italy led to the beginning of an era called the Renaissance. During the late 1300s, a great rebirth of art, literature, and learning occurred in Italy. In the next section, you will learn how Renaissance ideas changed as they spread across Europe. But first, review the main ideas of this section. Then take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the section assessment questions.